hard. You talk to Doug Haldeman because he doesn't think it's very hard. He's done it about 50 or 60 times. The poor kid just couldn't put the daggone things down, and he became very neurotic as a result. That might be something else we could talk about that just entered my mind, which I'll relate to you right here, and that is the advertising of cigarettes on radio and television. I noticed on one of the local stations are advertising a cigarette dispenser for Christmas. Do you think it's fair to ban cigarette ads and cigarette advertising and allow such things as cigarette dispensers to be advertised on television? They, of course, banned the advertising of the little cigars, which were becoming prevalent. We could also talk in a similar vein about one of my pet peeves, which I've tried to get bought up here on Teletalk, but nobody seems to want to call in about it, and that is television and the waste that television has become. I, for one, am a television addict. I can sit down, I can turn on the TV and waste an entire evening watching situation comedies and cheap mysteries. Possibly these aren't the worst things that are on TV. I think the worst things that are on television are the commercials. And I wasn't aware of this until, this is ironic, until I saw a special on television about what commercials try to do to you. For one, they try to breed on your insecurity. In other words, if you are starved for love, the motion picture will try, or the advertisement will try to say, if you use their product, you'll have love. And as a result, it seems that the average television viewer is a little more neurotic than other people. For example, there was one commercial that said, "There, look at that pretty girl, and me here without my toothpaste," or a mouthwash, I think it was. That's utterly bizarre and utterly ridiculous. And as you watch it, you don't think it affects you. But upon viewing this special again, I realized how much it had messed me up. And I just wanted to maybe pass that on to you. Do you agree with that, or do you think television is a fantastic media? I believe that there are certain good things on television. I enjoy watching a good movie or watching the news, but generally, it's pretty bad stuff. This, again, is my own opinion. What is your opinion? That's what we're interested in at 533-1661. Do you watch soap operas? I, at one time, when I was very small, about 6 or 7, got into one soap opera and watched it for about 3 years, and I don't think anything happened, but it was kind of good to kill the time. What's your opinion on it? 533-1661. You can call up, and we'll just let you talk and express your opinion on it. 533-1661. 533-1661. Oh, let's see. The Boston Strangler died, as you know. DeSalvo, who was declared mentally incompetent, has allegedly been murdered. And this brings up an interesting point, which is capital punishment. DeSalvo, of course, was admitted to prison, I believe, because he was considered insane. He was a schizophrenic. He had the split personality. Do you believe such people should be cared for by your tax dollar, or do you believe they should be disposed of? WPFR, may I put you on the air? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Boy, hey, we're good. This is Rick, right?
Right.
Rick Engelman, how are you, Rick?
Just fine. I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, pretty good. I, like everybody else, I think, wasted some energy this weekend going on a personal trip, you know, back home. But I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I was trying to, on the way back, just out of curiosity, from Indianapolis to Terre Haute, I was driving about 50. And, you know, there was only one other person on the whole highway who was going 50.
Is that right?
That I could see, you know. Everyone else, zoom, zoom, zoom by.
Well, you know, it's one thing for everybody to go 50, and it's another thing to reduce your speed limit. Like before, I was used to driving at around 75 miles per hour.
Right.
Because I understood that policemen, if you're going between 70 and 75 miles an hour, that they'll give you the benefit of the doubt. They'll let you pass. If you're going between 75 and 80, it's up to them whether they have to meet their quota or not, or how they're feeling at the time. And above 80, they're required to stop you. This is hearsay, secondhand type of information, but I've never had any trouble with it.
Well, I once got a warning
Yeah.
Over 80, but...
well, at any rate, again, I was used to driving 75, so as I mentioned, I tried to go 50 miles an hour, but it seemed to be such a slow process, so I kind of compromised myself and went 60 miles an hour, which for me was a reduction of 15 miles per hour above my usual.
Right, right. Well, you know, I agree with you that the whole thing, you know, they can say, well, overnight the speed limit's going to go down to 50, and I honestly don't believe people are going to drive slower, but I think just by saying that, gee, we do have a shortage, and gee, you know, driving slower is going to prevent it, I really think people are going to start driving slower. Now, I was noticing around Terre Haute some of the local Terre Haute people, like tonight I just drove from down at Honey Creek out to 46 here, and I was noticing some of the local Terre Haute people pretty well sticking to the 50 mile an hour range.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close to that. I've noticed that before, so I think, you know, that's a good sign, but I think it's going to take a while for people to get used to going 50. 50 seems so doggone slow.
Yeah, it does.
Really does.
It's unfortunate, too. You know?
Right, right.
But I think people are going to have to realize that. I think the American public, most of the people that call in here don't believe that there is an energy crisis. Can you believe that? I think there is. I don't know. This is my own personal opinion. I don't think anybody could perpetrate a hoax as big as the one that may now be perpetrated, if it indeed is a hoax.
Well,
it's just ungodly.
I don't believe that it's a hoax at all. You know, I think it's here. Some of the stuff that, you know, in hindsight, you can always look back and say, well, why didn't the oil company do this, or why didn't the government do this, and so forth. And you can always say that in hindsight, but it's awful hard ahead of time to you know, see what's going on and to react in a manner that's going to prevent what's going to come. I think the only clear example I've ever seen of that is the environmental situation with pollution and so forth. And it did get bad for a while, but, you know, with the results of what we've had, pollution's been cut down pretty much, I think, and it's going to continue to be cut down. I think, you know, the more people we get, we're still going to be able to control it, whereas before it would have kind of gotten out of control. I think this is kind of the same type thing.
Well, you know, pollution is going to have to be sacrificed a little bit. We're going to have to pollute a little more because of our energy crisis.
Well, you know, I'm not necessarily 100% convinced of that.
Is that right?
Well, I don't know. A lot of people were talking about, maybe we will, I'm not sure. A lot of people were talking about power companies having shortages and so forth. Well, I know around here we're not expected to have a shortage. And in fact, surprisingly, in the Midwest, at least in the Indiana, Ohio area, the same thing. Most of the energy is generated, I guess, by coal as it is now. But some of the other power plants on the East Coast, I guess, you know, are of other types of energy. I'm not sure exactly what they are, but their backup systems are high sulfur coal, and this high sulfur coal is polluting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, though, if people are willing to cut back on their electrical needs, if they're willing to turn their electrical heat down to 68 degrees, and if they're willing to cut back on some of the lighting displays and so forth, that, you know, really, that can make the difference, and maybe we just won't have to start polluting anymore. You know, it's a whole matter of how much you want to sacrifice, you know, kind of give and take thing.
Yeah. This is WPFR, Terre Haute, Indiana. Are you a little chillier?
Yeah.
Have you turned on your thermostat at all?
Well, I live in an apartment, so I can't legally turn down my thermostat, but we have ways of making it go down.
Opening the windows.
Well, we have a little grill over the top of it, and there's little slits in the side of the grill, and, you know, a screwdriver in the slit.
I see. Has your apartment complex reduced the temperature at all?
No, as a matter of fact, they hadn't. But I have the thermostat in my room, and I've reduced it, so.
Oh, you do have individual thermostats.
Well, right? No, I have the whole floor, so everyone on the floor is going to get cold.
I wonder if they'll come to you and
I don't think they will, because it's been like this for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't heard any complaints yet. the landlord doesn't know that it's that low. But,
Do you think Christmas lights are a big cut in the electrical expenses?
I'm not sure the Christmas lights are, but I think, you know, that certainly when you get all these lights out there, they do draw some electricity. President Nixon, I was lucky I did hear catch his speech last night. I thought he brought up several good points. In this area, of course, public service has been saying there is no shortage of electricity and so forth. So maybe it doesn't make any difference, but he is proposing a ban on outdoor lighting other than signs at places of businesses. And I heard one newsman add that we're open, but the president didn't specifically say that. He said at home offices of places of business.
Yeah.
And so I would assume, you know, a lot of these signs that are up, billboards and so forth, cut down the electricity there. Signs maybe above the expressway for gas stations and so forth, maybe get them turned out when they're not open or something. And I think in the long run, that's going to save power.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
We're going to have some drastic curtailment, I guess. President Nixon, of course, proposed a 15% cut on available gas?
Well, what he did, Bob, the way I understood it, and again, sometimes I hate to be critical of the media, but sometimes I think the newsmen just do not listen to what the president say. Now, last night he said that that a 15% cut in production of gasoline, but that petroleum would in turn be used to create more heating oil. So, you know, it's kind of a compromise. Yes, you're going to have less gas, but you're going to have more heating oil. And so, you know, it's not that he's saying, hey, let's stop it. He's kind of saying, well, let's divert it to a different area so at least we'll have not quite as bad a situation in the heating oil.
I see. In other words, sacrifice driving a little bit for home heating.
Right, right.
Oh, I see.
And when you think about it, which is really more important? I expect, you know, if you had a choice of going on pleasure drives or something and keeping halfway warm in your home, you know, you'd rather keep warm. But,
well, it'll be interesting to see what finally happens.
Well, you know, it's hard to say. I like President Nixon's idea of becoming independent. And by 1980, I would question whether it's possible because of America's growing needs all the time, and you know, somewhat limited resources, but or somewhat overused resources, you might say. You know, the one guy, your first caller was mentioning that a lot of oil wells and stuff were being shut down, and I found that out too. But the way I understand it, a lot of the oil that was coming from this is like high sulfur oil and stuff that would normally be used to generate things that are not in great need now, and they're shutting down those oil wells so that the refineries can work full force to give us the things that we do need. Apparently, the refineries is where the real backup is right now. Where, you know, where
this is WPFR, Terre Haute, Indiana. We have about.
What do you think about President Nixon's policy, Project Independence, 1980?
I think that the independence of the United States is a very good thing, but I think that if the president was impeached, that the oil crisis would be over much quicker.
Is that right?
I definitely do.
Now, why is that? What connection does the president of the United States have with the energy crisis as far as the reasons for the...
that he is taking are going to actually materially help the energy crisis.
They're not.
No, I do not think they will, and I think there are several people have said the same thing. I think he is doing more to really upset the nation and scare the nation than he does actually help the nation.
What do you think we could do besides what President Nixon has suggested? Do you think there would be better measures?
Yes, I'm not a particularly smart enough person to know what those are, but I listened to the president's speech, and in fact I taped the president's speech, and I can play it for the fellow if he'd like to hear it. But he did say that they were cutting back home heating fuel 15%. They were cutting back industrial fuel 10%, and they were cutting back businesses 25%. Now they're going to cut back on gasoline in order to take the fuel oil that would be the crude oil that would be turned into gasoline into heating fuel.
Right.
But I do not agree with cutting down the speed limit, and if so, I don't think that the trucks should be allowed to go faster than the cars. The trucks and buses are not more economical than cars, and anyone that knows anything about engines knows that.
Well, the idea, I think, is number one, that the trucks are the people that that move all of the merchandise around the United States. So this is going to be a big boost in the economy to let them go a little bit faster, because we'll get the machinery, the mechanics of the economy chugging a little bit faster. That will be allowed for it by the faster speed limits. Second of all, the bus is going faster.
Well, that I don't understand, because your buses are for sightseeing and travel between, you know, cities,
mm-hmm.
and you don't find people going to work on them type of buses. They're going to different parts of the country, and that's supposedly what we're supposed to be curtailing, is pleasure driving, vacations, and stuff of that sort.
Well, that is a good point.
City buses, if you follow some of them sometimes, you can see how well they do on fuel economy. They just about gas you out.
Yeah, that's for sure. But I imagine that there are going to be a lot more people taking the bus because of the airline cutback, the cutback in flights.
Yes, I think so.
And a lot of this is going to be for business. Now, hopefully, I guess ideally it would be better if you could cut out the travel altogether and have your have things done by phone, have your business transacted over phone. However, if people are going to travel for pleasure, and they have to travel for pleasure, I think maybe you'd have to agree to be better to take the bus, because you get more passengers per mile, if you will, than you do in a car. I would think, just offhand, maybe that isn't the case.
I think you're right, but the way I understand him from talking to his speech, he wants us to stay home instead of just traveling around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the president should have the right to tell people when they can open their business and when they close the business. To me, that's awful risky business.
Do you think the president then is too powerful?
I definitely think he is too powerful. I think, in my recollection of history, I can't remember any president having this much power. It's getting close to what Franklin Delano Roosevelt, possibly more than he had when we were at war. And we're not at war.
Does it scare you at all?
It does, very much so. I think it scares any student of history. Really, this is following awful close the guidelines that Hitler laid down when he went to power. I mean, they're not identical, but several things that Nixon has done have been the same type of moves that Adolf Hitler took when he got to power. And I mean, we're not going to walk in one night and say that it's all over with. It's going to be a military dictatorship. It's going to come little by little, but if a person just remembers what it was like when Richard Nixon first got in, and little by little what has come since he has gotten in.
I don't think it's only Richard Nixon. I think the last few presidents, each one has gotten more and more powerful.
I think each president has gotten a little more power. I agree with you. I don't think it's just one man, but I think it's a state of affairs that keeps getting worse with each president. I think it's time that the American people stopped it and we got back to what they used to have back when we formed this country.
Which is?
To be run by the people, and he was supposed to represent us.
Mm-hmm.
Or with what to do. I don't know. I think it's a time where every American has to sit down and think about it instead of just let the other guy do it.
Do you think the president should be impeached then, I imagine?
I definitely feel he should. I think that he just dares the American people to do it and thinks they won't have the courage to do so. And I think I'm going to have to agree with him. I don't think the people in this country do anymore. On the whole, they seem to, well, let George do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's never been a vice president taken out all before either. And that's already happened.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, as you stated, I think initially that as a result of the media.
I'm very unbiased towards the media, maybe a little too much though, but I think on the whole they usually represent the people's feelings, and they're the only source that the American people or the world is really going to have. And I remember when this first came up and the Washington Post first started their series of articles on Watergate, Richard Nixon filed suit against him. And he lost the suit, is the only reason it ever got out. He sued him for slander. and they proved it was true.
Oh.
So therefore, there is no slander.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that if it hadn't been for the Washington Post and the other newspapers that started this, it would have ever gotten out about Watergate.
As a man that's connected with oil, to change the subject a little bit, do you favor gas rationing, or do you think they should increase the tax on it?
Well, I believe that probably increasing the tax would be better than rationing, because I don't know of any really fair system they can come up with. Like, I drive quite a ways to work, and if they ration gas on me, I'm going to be out of a job.
Working at a refinery, do you get your gas at a discount rate at all?
No, I do not.
You don't?
No.
I bet you that irritates you now.
It really does. You think, well, I mean, I'm there, I'm doing it, I ought to have first crack at it.
Yeah.
That's like you can't tell me the guy that delivers home heating oil is not going to make sure his home is serviced before everybody else's is. But I have to go buy mine at a gas station.
I guess maybe that's only fair.
Well, yeah, it is only fair. I agree, but...